Well, hi everybody. I've changed my place. I'm in another room, no longer in the temple right now. And we are working on video commentary number 28 for the rules of magic on the astral plane. So that means we've done about 77 or so programs on A Treatise on White Magic, and you can get the first 50 of them right now, anyway, on the Makara website. We've been dealing with different kinds of desires and with different conditions of the astral body, fear and depression being foremost among them, but the desire for happiness and the desire for the fulfillment of the animal appetites, and then finally the desire for liberation, and the last three the Tibetan has not really taken up. As he says, the first two are so important that until we can really deal with them, we can't deal with the others. So we've come to a new section, and that new section deals with the right use of energy. We're working on Rule 10. It's, you know, like one of my colleagues said, about a quarter of the book, maybe a fifth, a quarter, something like that. And we're slowly making our way through to do the best we can to understand. In considering the overcoming of wrong vibration and the right direction of astral energy, it might be of value here if we were very briefly to list the major energies which impress the human organism and circulate through the sentient body of man. Well, overcoming of wrong vibration. Well, we can certainly understand that the conditions of fear and depression are wrong vibration. And somewhere he tells us that, well, depression is in a way equivalent to selfishness. Maybe we'll run into that. Energies, so what are these, list the major energies which impress the human organism and circulate through the sentient body of man. Okay. So, number one, energies passing and repassing through the sentient body of the planet itself. Whoop, don't want that, do I? Okay. Passing and repassing through the sentient body of the planet itself. This is, in other words, the astral body of the spirit of the earth. This entity is not the planetary logos, but a being of great power on the involutionary arc who holds the same relation to the planetary logos as the astral elemental does to the human being. The astral body. The astral body of the spirit of the earth. Well, the spirit of the earth is involutionary. It's always happening. I have to be quite careful. Okay. The spirit of the earth is involutionary. And we are speaking of its astral body. Sometimes maybe he calls it the planetary entity, and it's not the same as the planetary logos. It's a great elemental being, and it's not yet, you know, on the evolutionary arc. Facts about this life will be found in A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, and probably we've analyzed that a little bit anyway. Okay, the sentient body of the planet itself. So this is all part of the personality of the planetary logos. Stands in this analogical relation. Its life is the aggregate of a vast number of lives, and those lunar petries, or lesser builders, inherited from the moon chain, or the lesser builders who constitute the sentient life of the personality, of the personality aspect of the planetary logos, a more potent force for good and also for evil, as we use the word evil. A vast number of lives constitute this astral body of the spirit of the earth, and those lunar petries, or lesser builders, who constitute the sentient life of the personality aspect of the planetary logos, a more potent force for good and also for evil, as we use the word evil. Evil per se is non-existent, as is good in the sense of the Paris of opposites. It's all part of the great illusion. But there is relative evil, not absolute evil. There is relative evil, but no absolute evil. Only in time and space, are there varying states of consciousness producing differing outer effects. The energy of this involutionary life has a potent effect on the tiny involutionary life which constitutes our astral elemental. So this effect is one of the major conditioning forces. The fact that protects from complete sensitive identification with this greater life is man's individuality and the potency of his rapid coordinating personality. So, let's say man has some say over the matter and can condition his own elemental life through the power which he is as a soul in incarnation. Man is an individual. He is the result of other factors, and the combination of these factors constitutes the protection from complete absorption in the planetary sentient life, as is the case with the animals. Okay, so he is the result of other factors related to his monad and to the solar angel, which has him under supervision and training. Well, there are the possibilities of the absorption of the human being by great devas and of a lower kind, involutionary kind, and this would be quite a disaster. I think this is what happens to members of the Black Lodge. They are completely absorbed in a way by a great material deva, and their destiny is full of sorrow and delay. So man is an individual, meaning he has been individualized and has power because of this, growing power over his adopted elemental life. Okay, he is the result of other factors related to the monad, to the solar angel, etc. And the combination of these factors constitutes his protection. In other words, not to be overwhelmed or absorbed or completely negated in his individuality. His protection. Okay, so his individuality is not overcome. At death, man's astral body disintegrates, and then its particles again constitute undifferentiated fragments of the great whole, and we can say, you know, later to be regathered when the time for reincarnation and reappropriation of vehicles begins. All right, so the very first thing then is the major energies which impress the human organism. So energies passing through and repassing to the sentient body of the planet itself. We always have to remember that, for instance, in Cosmic Fire, we're dealing with various types of atoms. Man is an atom, the atom of substance is an atom, the planetary logos is an atom, the solar logos is an atom, and on we go. In a way, the entire universe is an atom when compared with absolute infinity, but really much smaller. We get into some strange mathematical things when you start to think about infinity. Especially, there are all kinds of infinities, but absolute infinity is the ultimate. Okay. What else? What else is passing through this this astral body of the sentient body of man? Certain astral energies emanating from some planetary forms which as yet exist not in the form of planets, not yet in the etheric realm, but which are enclosed within the ring pass knot of our solar system. Okay, now these are, should we call them astral, thus far, are thus far astral planets, not yet etheric. They represent in the planetary sense two groups of lives. First, those astral shells of decaying and disintegrating planets, which are to be seen by the initiate, probably do no good, still revolving around the sun, but which are nevertheless fast disappearing. Our moon will join their number when the complete disintegration of the outer form has taken place by the seventh round, whether that be a chain round or a scheme round, and maybe more likely, I don't know, maybe more likely a scheme round. Okay, second, so the first one is the astral shells. And can you get anything good out of that which is decaying? I don't think so. Second, the astral forms of those lesser solar lives on the evolutionary arc, who are taking form slowly but have not yet taken an etheric body and will never, in this world period, take a physical body. Now, what really is a world period? Is it an entire solar system? Or simply a round of a planet? Either a chain round or scheme round. Anyway, it might be, if you think about it, so many trillions of years, according to the Brahmanic chronology, remain in our solar system. Maybe we're halfway through, and it's said to last 311 trillion, 40 billion years, if that is really, correct. Some people dispute that. I think Sri Yukteswar disputes that and says it's far too large a number. But Blavatsky said it was clearly an accurate number. So it's hard to think that there would not be some materialization during the remainder of our entire solar system, especially the objective part of it. And that might still be in the trillions of years, even if not the full range of some 150 trillion remaining. These two groups are the planetary correspondences to the reincarnating types of men and to those who have passed over and are slowly shedding their bodies prior to eventual rebirth, or who have completely vacated their shells. And of course, we do vacate our shells on our way to our causal body, and passing through Devachan, perhaps on the mental plane, we vacate the shells and then begin anew the process of rebirth. Some may not have to go that entire distance. Maybe it's been inferred that when the sixth petal of the egoic lotus is fully open, you may not need to re you may be able to retain the content of your personality vehicles, or at least your mental body, maybe astral body, without having to rebuild those vehicles. But anyway, these energies will affect man. There are two of these astral forms in close proximity to our Earth, which are rapidly decomposing, if I may so term it, and yet have a very potent influence. Doesn't sound good. On account of this close relation, they produce two types of desire or astral tendency among men. One produces much of that instinctual tendency to cruelty which one sees in children and in certain types of men, and the other has an effect upon the sex life and produces some of those tendencies to perversions which cause so much difficulty now. Well, DK is not approving of what society shows so much tendency to accept in terms of what used to be called perversions, sex between the same sex partners, especially, and many other things here. So, introducing this idea that a decomposing planet with a decomposing astral body is behind this tendency to perversion would probably be just too much to grasp or accept by people who are so busy justifying these things on the basis of, anyone's preference is sacrosanct, but there are laws, and there's no way really to pass beyond them. Sadistic tendencies and sex perversions find much strengthening influence from these dying astral entities. You kind of wonder about Sodom and Gomorrah, and the kind of maybe even nuclear divine explosions which brought them to an end. Sadistic tendencies and sex perversions find much strengthening influence from these dying astral emanations. Well, look, friends, this is occultism. Take it or leave it. We can choose if we wish to be. I'm sorry, a few other political things here. And I'm not even sure what this is. This is something different. This is some. Well, anyway, we won't worry about all that. We'll get back to where we are. And if I can find it, huh? I've just got to be able to find. I see what the problem is. Okay, sorry. Turns up I showed up. Oh, goodness, there's some faces we don't want to see. Sorry. It's my political life. Not being inclined politically at first, I see the utter necessity of it at the present time because, as the Tibetan says, it conditions so many people. In ancient days, these tendencies, they were still more potent, being closer to our Earth. Like the moon, they are now retreating, then now. The moon, they are relatively rapidly, I would say, retreating. Hence the ritualistic cruelties and the horrors, for instance, of Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, I don't know. Ritualistic cruelties. We know somethings of what went on there, but the Tibetan has a closer look at it, and he says that these are the things that happened, and one can probably imagine some pretty terrible things involving perversions of sex and the use of ritual involved in it. I mean, no wonder they had to be destroyed as an abomination. Abominations still exist. I know it's not a popular term, but one day we have to wake up and realize that we are not the measure of all things. Man may have many desires, but these desires can be impelled from sources which are corrupt. And so we're not really allowed to indulge in them, no matter how much the present tendency is to justify them as, well, that's the way I was born, but you know, when reincarnation comes into it, we'll see why we were born that way based upon our choices in the past. Anyway, their power is rapidly declining, and it should be remembered that they would have no power at all were it not in humanity itself. Were there not in humanity itself certain instincts upon which the energies can work? Well, you know, this ultimately, we are indeed responsible. And putting the blame on heredity or environment is not the complete picture. And really is a distortion. It should also be remembered that in Lemurian times, their influence was constructive, for in those days, the lesson of sex and the intelligent registering of pain had a place in the scheme of those who were endeavoring to lead animal man into human consciousness, you know, even though animal man was individualized, he was not yet a representative of human consciousness, and not into soul consciousness or even into self-consciousness in those very early times. We remember it took early times. It took about 3 million years before newly individualized man awoke to himself and realized himself to be, let's say, a separate entity. Well, these are very subtle and occult factors. They are to be looked at as causative in relation to some pretty unwholesome circumstances in our present in the present life of humanity. Anyway, those are two decaying planets. And they account for a lot of misery, and we justify them in human terms, and we say, okay, well, that's how we are, but there's a lot more to it occultly than we imagine. That's why it's so important for excuse me, occultism to win the day by the end of the 21st century, at least be a well-respected source of information. Close to our earth, on the road to rebirth, is a great life in process of taking etheric form. Now, this is a involutionary and not a dying life. This life being on the evolutionary arc and not constituting the life of a decaying shell is having a real effect on the inauguration of the new age. This effect is twofold. Through the emanations from the astral body of this great life, the work of breaking down the separative wall of individualism, which demonstrates in man as selfishness and in nations as nationalism, is carried forward. Very important and very necessary. You know, the hierarchy is an international group, and they promote the right kind of internationalism, not any kind of totalitarian internationalism where all countries are tempted to be made the same and be put under the same type of regime, but an individualistic, well, that's not even the right word, a kind of internationalism in which every country's soul virtues can emerge and enhance and promote the soul virtues of others. Through this rapidly integrating etheric body, it takes a while on the path of appropriation to integrate the etheric body, and that's before the birth of the physical body, this life is bringing the etheric body of our planet into a state of increased rapid vibration. This is good news, right? Reference will be found in A Treatise on Cosmic Fire to an avatar from Sirius who comes to bring about certain planetary effects. This life is not that avatar, but is in the nature of a forerunner, of a John the Baptist who baptizeth with water, astral emanations, and the Holy Ghost. Profound occult information amounting causatively to so many of the conditions which we experience, both bad and good. More information along these lines is not possible, but mention is made of it, as the energies coming from the two factors must be borne in mind. Oh, I'm really fascinated with this material here. Really, you know, behind so much that we think is strictly caused by human attitudes and our human thinking lie real causes. And they have to come to light. An occultist is one who studies the true causes behind the outer effects. And if we don't go deep enough, we're going to be satisfied with lesser causes, and we're going to attribute to these lesser causes patterning of activity which could not possibly emanate from them. Well, anyway, I like to dwell on these things. DK has told us that humanity has erred grievously in the past. We can see as we begin to look at some of these descriptions that, well, along what line that grievous erring could have taken place. All right. Here's some another one passing through man and through the etheric body of the planet. Astral energies emanating from the new sign of the zodiac into which we are now entering, the sign Aquarius. We've entered many times, of course, in the past, but now it seems a special type of entry. Maybe it's, do I remember correctly when he's told us that it's sort of the seventh time in the fifth root race, depends on where we start counting, but the fifth root race when this sign Aquarius has coincided with a large seventh ray cycle, and you know, hence the opportunity is great. So, you know, just trying to remember here, keep it all straight. The astral energies from planetary forms and energies passing through the sentient body of the planet itself, through the spirit of the Earth and the spirit of the Earth. The spirit of the Earth itself is having a great influence on the sentient body of man. So I think I'll put that down. The spirit of the Earth and its astral body are having a great effect on man and upon his astral body. Well, you know, aren't we tired of being ignorant, wouldn't you say? And are we not eager to go more deeply into an understanding of realities now hidden from us? Isn't that the case? Isn't that, among other things, why we are students of occultism? And one day, of course, you know, the great motive to serve with what we newly know will be more prominent than it is. You remember DK saying, look, you found your way into this group external to the ashram because of selfishness, basically, and the desire for liberation, not from the great desire to serve. Well, which is probably true in the beginning. Alrighty. Astral energies emanating from the new sign of the zodiac, Aquarius. This sign, that of the water carrier, is a living sign and an emotional sign. You wouldn't think it, you know, because it's got so much fifth ray and we have the attitude of the detached Aquarian. So we say, what about the attitude of the detached Aquarian? Well, maybe that's a somewhat more developed type. It will, through the effect of its potent force, stimulate the astral bodies. After all, you know, it's the water carrier, right? And it's called Aqua, Aquarius, so it does have something to do with water, at least the waters of space, and sometimes water is much more than we imagine. It's connected with the ethers of space. It's connected with the matter of space. It's not just only connected with the etheric body or with the astral body only. So, you know, some of these words are quite expansive, and one word can cover a number of different definitions. This sign, that of the water carrier, is a living sign and an emotional sign. It does have to do with livingness. And you know how from an electric shock you get the feeling of maybe more aliveness. Certainly you're jolted into some kind of shock state. Aquarius can help bring that about through itself and through its major ruler on the orthodox and even on the hierarchical level, Uranus. It will, through the effect of its potent force, stimulate the astral bodies of men into a new coherency, into a brotherhood of humanity which will ignore all racial and national differences and will carry the life of men forward into synthesis and unity. What a great prognosis here for Aquarius. It will, through the effect of its potent force, stimulate the astral bodies of men into a new coherency, you know, the age of integration, into a brotherhood of humanity which will ignore all racial and national differences. I would say by the time the third decan of Aquarius is reached, the last approximately 720 years, and will carry the life of men forward into synthesis and unity. It's the sign of universality. Aquarius, let's say, Aquarius is the sign of synthesis, universality, and unity. So, this means a tide of unifying life, of such power that one cannot now vision it, maybe the masters can, but which in 1,000 years will have welded all mankind into perfect brotherhood. So, he's saying, this is even before the third decan, and is taking place in the Mercury decan, with its Geminian influence, which is, of course, brotherly. You know, Liberty, Aquarius, equality, Libra, fraternity, brotherliness, Gemini. Some interesting things I've really said here about Aquarius. You know, danger is that one can forget these things. I find that as I'm reading through this book again, I am anticipating what's coming next, you know. Somehow it's stored in my mind, but certainly not all things. And more could be and should be stored. But we will learn, okay? Its emotional effect will be to purify the astral bodies of men so that the material world ceases to hold such potent allure, so it helps the four noble truths. Let's try FNT. Nope, it doesn't. So let's do that. Let's get that one down. FNTS. Four noble truths of the Buddha. It will help with them to appear, to be accepted. So to purify, because, you know, it is definitely, DFL, a healing sign. And quite a number of the healers have that Aquarian ability to transmit the useful energies and forces, the subtle energies and forces. Increasingly, we find an emphasis there and upon, vibrational medicine. Aquarius is a sign much associated with the study of vibration. Its emotional effect will be to purify the astral bodies of men so that the material world ceases to hold such potent allure. And that's what the Buddha was after with his presentation of the Four Noble Truths. And may in its later stages bring about a state of exaggeration as potent in the line of sentiency as that which we have undergone in the line of materiality. And I really forgot that one because, you know, you oftentimes think, you know, it's such a mental sign. It is, really, a very mental sign. But, in other words, we can, what can we call it? Will we call this, instead of materialism, what can we call it? Sentiism? It's not a good word. But I'm just going to use it anyway. You know, it's going to be such an extreme astral sensitivity, and people will be engrossed in it just as they are engrossed in the testimony of the normal senses. Well, anyway, it will bring much good and maybe some exaggeration. That I had forgotten. The final stages of all signs produce overdevelopment of the factor on which they most potently work. Whoa. So we're in that right now, in a way. We are in the final stages in the retrogression precession of the equinoxes. We're in the final stages here, and we're going to get a lot of this I suppose, Piscean delusion, even in, I think, the book of Revelation, it pretty well tells us that hell will walk the earth. I mean, you know, basically the lower strata of the astral plane will materialize. Let's see whether that is literally so or whether it's going to occur through obsession. At present, the effect of this sign is constructive among the pioneers of the race and destructive among the rank and file of humanity. Facts about the coming Aquarian Age can be searched for in the current books on the subject, and it profits not for me to enlarge here. But he has enlarged much, and we can gather topically. So at present, how do we look at Aquarius? It's constructive for the pioneers and destructive of their old Piscean attachments among those who are the rank and file of humanity. All right. All of these are going through the astral body of man. And I suppose, you know, when we're dealing with the larger sources through the astral body of the planets, of our planet, so many subtle occult factors that we may not normally think about whatsoever. This is a magnificent book to be rereading and rereading, you know, and of course, let it lead to right application of whatever energies we can assimilate. All right, so now we've done this one, and this is astral energies from the new sign of the zodiac, and I'll make that quite big so it stands out from all this other highlighted material. Okay. A living and emotional sign, stimulating the astral bodies to new coherency and into brotherhood, carrying the life of men into synthesis and unity, you know, and we would say, which, of course, the hierarchy would promote. These days, when you see people saying, our country first, and we're the best, it's just egotism on a national level. It's just not allowed. Just not allowed. It has to go. Right. So now what? Faint emanations from the heart of the sun, unrecognized by the masses, but instantly calling forth response from the mystics of the race, who are asserting increasingly a group integrity of a very real moment and interest. And he's kind of talking, in a way, of the new group of world servers. Oh, this is not a valid number. Okay, thank you. Okay. New group of world servers. Not that all of them are necessarily mystics. These emanations are too high. Well, you know, heart of the sun again, what is it? Is it the causal body, sort of the soul nature of the soul of logos? Is it a particular high aspect of that soul energy found upon the cosmic astral plane? Sometimes he talks about the subjective sun. I think there's basis to look at it both ways. But anyway, the heart of the sun, well, it certainly appears to be above the cosmic physical plane, though there is kind of an etheric presence of the solar logos on the cosmic ethers, and especially on the second subplane, which we call our monadic plane. But that kind of 12-foldness, I think, is found there, and 12 is an important number whenever we deal with the heart. So these emanations are too high to be sensed by humanity at large, but the mystics react and are drawn together by the sensing of the new vibration. So you might say reaching for a higher aspect of divinity. Okay. Their work is then to set, let's see if I can get this. No, what happens? Strange things appear. Their work is then to set down the vibration, step down the vibration, so that its effect can be sensed in time by the foremost of the race, who are not yet as elevated as mystics. The work of this group of mystics must therefore inevitably grow, for the heart of the solar logos beats now in closer rhythm with the planet, and what can we say, you know, with the planetary heart, than has heretofore been the case. And this is not, this not being a sacred planet, but inwardly so. The love and thought of that divine life is turned towards this little daughter of a long-lost son, as our planet is sometimes called in the occult books of the great ones. Whoa, this is a wonderful idea. Not sure I can quite explain it. Who is that long-lost son? Because there is a, you know, there is a mother, in a way, a higher, a kind of Pleiad, maybe it's Maya. There is a mist enshrouded Pleiad, a veiled Pleiad that seems to be associated with this little daughter, but then who is the son? And is that, you know, is that son one of the rishis of the Great Bear? I don't know. And then would that rishi really be long lost? That's so this amazing thing, and something which for years has not been in my mind, but which I'm happy to see again. All right, now further circulation. So it was heart of the sun. There's another one, right? What have we got so far? We've got our planetary entity. What have we got so far? So, whoop, that's always the way. Unfortunately, so far, planetary spirit or entity. Sometimes he uses the word planetary spirit to represent a higher being, and then instead uses the planetary entity. But in this particular case, the planetary spirit does represent that entity. And the next one is decaying. And decaying, okay, and incarnating planets. And then what was the third one again? Where was that? Okay, the new sign of the zodiac is another, and the what? Oh, goodness. I just really want to get certain energies emanating from approaching and retreating planets. And, okay, we got that. And then astral energy, new sign of the zodiac. And faint emanations from the heart of the sun. That should be a four. Oh, good Lord. God. Set numbering value. Yes. Let's do that. Okay, that's a four. So faint emanations from the heart of the sun. Let's just try to keep all these things straight, you know. And then another emanation. So decaying and incarnating planets. Emanations from the heart of the sun. We got that sacred heart of the sun. And number three is emanations from the new sign. And from what part of a new sign? Here, new sign of the zodiac. And that should be a three. Goodness. I think so. Yeah, two. This should be a three. And that's the kind of stuff I get into, which is unfortunate. Okay, so let's see. Okay, let's bring this back a little bit. Okay. All right, it's not going to give me what I want. But anyway, we're pretty close. So emanations from the heart of the sun and emanations from the new sign of the zodiac. Okay. Sorry for this kind of impractical delay. New sign of the zodiac, Aquarius. And then emanation from the heart of the sun. Okay. Whew. Another mass emanation which sweeps the astral body of man into strenuous activity is the impulsive desire of the astral body of the fourth or human kingdom, viewing it as a whole or as the expression of life. So humanity's astral body is affecting the individual astral body of man. So let's take a look at that. And we'll just state it as he seems to be saying it. So humanity's astral body is affecting the individual astral body. This sentient body of humanity responds in an unrealized manner to all the four above, to the planetary spirit, to the retreating and advancing forms, which are of an astral nature, to the sign of the zodiac, and especially in its astral effect, living and affecting the astral body, and to the vibrations of the heart of the sun. This sentient body of humanity responds in an unrealized manner to all the four above types of astral energy, and according to the caliber of the individual astral body, and according to the stage of development, so will be the response. Okay, so we are enmeshed in or included within the great astral body of humanity, and it definitely has its effect. You know, mass, not only thought forms, but mass sentient forms can sweep through humanity. It is in this fact that the roots of mass psychology and mob rule lie. Well, the mob is not very thinking. And great astral currents, he talked about lynchings, you know, horrible thoughts. He talked about, you know, hysteria and panics and a few other undesirable things sweeping through the astral body of humanity or through a large portion of it. It is in this fact that the roots of mass psychology and mob rule lie. Also, the roots of public opinion, so-called, are to be found here, but it will be long before the psychologists of the academic schools will recognize these four factors. Yes, yes. Well, there's such a, is it a protective bias against the subtle? Sometimes DK seems to say that, you know, average man is protected from occultism because he couldn't handle it. So skepticism is one of the main protections. It is with this type of sentient response that the leaders of men seek to work, molding the thoughts of men in order to awaken desire for this and that and the other. They work with this type of sentient matter without the least understanding of the situation and without any comprehension of the factors with which they are dealing. They work magnetically, if on the second ray, and with the inspiring of fear through destruction, if on the first ray. Well, you see a lot of that. If on the third ray, they use the law of expediency. So let's just say this sounds sounds either like real inspiration or demagoguery. Demagoguery. How do you spell that? Oh, I'm sure that's not right. There it is. G-O-G-U-E-R-Y. Thus, all three work with the astral bodies of men, all three rays. Magnetism, fear, and expediency. So, magnetism, fear, and expediency. And their capacity to succeed is dependent largely upon their own type of astral body and its power to attract others who are sufficiently developed to respond with adequate sentiency and then to carry forward the good work. So our astral equipment, the potency of our astral equipment is important. The man in the street is therefore the victim of the astral potency of those who drive him. Oh, come on. That was a run there, wasn't it? Of those who drive him, either for their own good ends or for the good of his soul, for it works in both directions. Now, there's another one here. I don't think we can finish all of these in the hour program that I intend here. The astral life or sentient emanations of man surrounding family or friends. We do belong to astral families, as well as physical families and mental families and soul groups, soul families. They affect him far more than he may credit, or he may affect them, according to which side is positive and which is negative. Everyone we meet or contact, every person with whom we live or daily consort, has an effect upon us, either for good or evil. Well, that's a bold statement, and it makes us circumspect and watchful. They either stir up our emotional nature in a good and high sense, and so aid its work of reorientation, or they lower its standard so that progress is hindered and the work of the drawing downward towards materiality is carried forward. This is well known, this we well know, or know well, and it is unnecessary for me to enlarge upon it here. So not just the astral life of humanity as a whole, but the astral life of those in our immediate environment and our family and friends. I'm sure we're carrying many astral reactions of that which we have absorbed from our family of origin and from those who now surround us. Well, let's see, I think there are a few more, but because they are, I don't dare get into it right now, do I? Yeah, well, we probably have another program, whole program, before we get to the present and the future. The present and the future. So, I think we are at page... It will be spoken very soon. Okay. Some page or other. I'm probably looking right at it. And page 315. And maybe even 316. All right, so we'll stop here. And this is a 6. And, okay. Set numbering value up to 6, and okay. All right. So we're on page 316, and we began at 311. So we're in that section called The Right Use of Energy, and we'll transport this downward. Just trying to keep things straight, you know? And sometimes the material is so complex that it's difficult to do. All these indentations don't really count here. Okay. So this is the end of number 28, and we're on, let's see, this was 304 to 311. No, 311 to 316. And today is the 21st of August. And this is number 10.11. And we're going to go on to 10.13 at page 316. And this will be number 29. Okay, friends. Well, can I, can we have the patience to sit with this and look at what's coming through our astral body? Now we've got so far here, and what we'll do, emanations. What we'll do here is just make another little summary here, and we'll include now the effect of the astral body of humanity and the effect of the astral environment of family and near ones and those who immediately surround the individual. All right. And then we'll be dealing with number 7 when we start again. Little housekeeping here, but hopefully it keeps us in order. So, onward, thinking, correlating, researching, finding the hidden light as much as may be possible, and bringing to light that which may not have been suspected before we read certain excellent texts which connect us with other excellent texts, and the light will flash forth. Okay. Study hard. Lots of love. Many blessings. We'll see you before long, as soon as my schedule allows me to begin again.